Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, this is Deb Evans coming to you live from Houston, Texas in the Franchise Foundry office, and I do believe I have Jack Munson on the line. How you doing, Jack?
Good evening, Deb. Jack Munson from Enalto coming to you live tonight from West Des Moines, Iowa. And I'm not ready yet to announce my candidacy for president, but stay tuned, maybe in a couple of weeks. I know I wouldn't win, but I don't think I'd come in last either. So, you know.
This is true. I really was expecting that big announcement, though. You have just disappointed me. You've just busted my balloon.
Well, right. Jeez. Well, we'll see how things go after the debate here tomorrow night. So, but anyway, it's great to be back in the States. We've had some great travel to the UK and some great guests from the UK last week, and some things we've recorded coming up. So thanks to all of our friends across the pond for that. And what else is going on? What else is new with you, Deb?
What's new? Oh, I don't know. We've got, just lots of work, lots of periscopes, lots of a couple of trips coming up, some fun ones. So anyone that does follow me on Twitter or Periscope, it's all going to be about fun this coming weekend. I'm going to put work aside, but I can't leave the digital, the world. So going to be participating in a charity event. So I'll have to check out all that, Periscope and tweets and things like that. But yeah, it's all good. All good. So you
Very
have
good.
That or
and
we have. Go ahead.
Yeah. Speaking of Periscope, I did want to mention we've got our series on using technology and platforms and tools continues in a couple of weeks. We've got a great episode coming up on using Periscope with Peter Stewart. Next week, we'll be speaking with Nancy Friedman on using that old social media platform called email and getting some
tips. Well, actually,
Nancy's
going to be the week after.
Oh,
so
2 weeks. Okay, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Don't freak Nancy out if she's listening. So next week we're going to have Skylar Fox. We actually did the Social Geek Radio jingle. So we're going to be talking data and securities and things like that. And then Nancy's going to be following on she comes up on the 26th. So, yeah, don't push this month faster.
And to sort of start off the series tonight, we'll be talking about my personal favorite social media platform, LinkedIn, and join us to give us some tips and best practices on LinkedIn is the Chief Connections Officer, I love that title, by the way, of Chuck Hester Enterprises. It's Mr. Chuck Hester. How you doing, Chuck?
Good, Jack. Hey, Deb, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. And LinkedIn is one of my favorites, too. And I have to be the first to admit it's underutilized. So I'm ready. You need to push me a little harder and teach me some tricks that I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do so.
And when we get to some tips and best practices, we'll rely on you to get Deb shaped up and get her profile together and all of that stuff, Chuck. But before we get there,
sounds like a plan.
Tell us a little bit about your background and your business and the kinds of things you're focusing on these days.
Yeah, background, basically, I'm a journalist by training. I'm a USC, University of Southern California grad in journalism and did that for a while, technology in particular. Fell backwards into public relations, but I've been in PR, marketing, branding for close to 30-some-odd years now. Social media marketing for the last 11, which I think is about as long as you possibly can be involved with it. And as, luck would have it, my first social media platform was LinkedIn. And at the time in California, I was with 27 connections because we were getting ready to relocate to the Raleigh, North Carolina, where we are now. And they were all in marketing and PR in Raleigh, and as a result, got the first job here, and also met my my CEO from my second job, which was iContact, as director of communications for there, and they had quite the rocket ship ride, and went from $2 million to sales into $169 million sale 5.5 years later. I've been actively involved in LinkedIn, Twitter, some Facebook for business, not as much for a long time. LinkedIn probably close to, golly, it's going almost 10 years now, and help other folks use it. We have a consulting practice involved with executives and organizations on how to use LinkedIn for business.
What kinds of things are you talking about with executives when you do this one-on-one type of training on using LinkedIn? Is it about their personal brand? Is it about their company? What really do you focus on there?
Yeah, with the one-on-one exec, it really is about personal branding and about business development. I work with a lot of business development VPs and Cs in that regard, and how to use LinkedIn for business development, how to use LinkedIn for subject matter expertise and building the brand. And I know we'll get into it, because one of the questions we were talking about is, so what's new on LinkedIn? And we will get into publishing as far as that goes. So LinkedIn now has become the content marketing platform of choice these days. And, I'll talk further about that. But so I work from the ground up, I guess would be the best way to describe it, and, tuning up their profile, making sure it's SEO-oriented, and making sure folks can find them, and then that they can find actual prospects, partners, business folks that they can work with. And there's a lot of tips and tricks in that regard, and what I call Easter eggs of what people really don't understand about LinkedIn. And, when I give my speeches and seminars, we talk about all the myths around LinkedIn. And, the number one myth there is it's a job seeker's platform. Mm-hmm. When in fact it's a business development platform more than it's a job seeker's platform. So that's a big part of that.
And you mentioned some of the newer things and recent changes. I think when mm-hmm. I first met you was probably 6-7 years ago. You had just mm-hmm. written your book on LinkedIn, Paying It Forward. Tell us a little bit about what you see now versus what you saw, which seems like an eternity ago, 6 years ago on a social platform. What are the biggest changes that you've seen?
Well, and some of them, guys, was really driven by the fact that LinkedIn's a public company, and they have certain things that they want to, accomplish every single year. I remember, Jack, probably about 7 years ago in 2000, actually it's almost 8 now, when I wrote my book, LinkedIn to Pay It Forward. At the time, I believe LinkedIn had about 80 million to 100 million users. They now have 380 million users. The biggest change is the publishing platform that was incorporated about almost a year and a half ago now, where it used to be the Richard Bransons of the world, the Craig Newmarks of the world, were the ones that were occasionally blogging on what they would call influencer posts. And then they open up that platform to all of the users. They did it slowly, 25,000 at a time. I was one of the first set of those. But now they just reached a milestone where they have had 1 million posts posted on LinkedIn through the publishing platform. And it's a very, very powerful platform. I've got 26 some odd blog posts up there that have pulled together close to 40,000 hits. Likes and comments, and so I use that when I'm working with my execs as well to help them develop their brand and continue to market their organizations and become influencers themselves.
So tell us a little bit more how the publishing tool works. Is it just like a blog, right? It's more than a post, but maybe less than a long form thing.
Right. I mean, and it's up to you. I mean, there are best practices in that regard, but, 6 to 8 paragraphs is approximately what a good post would be with a good visual and headline. If you have a WordPress site, it's very, very similar to WordPress. If you remember the old Blogger, it's just basically that platform. There's not a lot of creativity that you can put into it, per se. Mm-hmm. But really the most important aspect of it is once you do publish it, is sharing it out into the LinkedIn groups, and there's now 3.5 million LinkedIn groups that you can be a part of, and sharing it to your social networks. And once I publish, I go out to Twitter and Facebook along with my LinkedIn status bars and everything else I've got going on. So, it's propagating that message out. And, we'll talk about tips, but one of the first tips that I would give to the listeners is basically if you have a blog now, and if you have a company blog in particular, you can do a cut and paste into a LinkedIn post And then you add the quick term, which says, you know, as appearing on chuckhester.com, and it links back to your company blog. So you're able to backlink into your company website and, in fact, drive traffic that way as well. So it's very, very powerful.
Yeah, no, I've seen a lot of people, and I've done this as well, take a blog post that they did on their blog, you know, on their WordPress blog or their company blog,
right,
and then repurpose the same thing as a LinkedIn published post. Is that recommended, or would you say that that's going to hurt somehow?
No, it's, you know, and there's back and forth on that as far as that goes. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm an oversharer to begin with. But, you know, if my biggest concern for my clients that will come to me and say, you know, I just don't have time to write. I write a blog post on my, or I have somebody writing a blog post on our company blog. I don't have time to write LinkedIn posts. So we repurpose those posts and put them out on LinkedIn, and it works just fine. You know, we need to make sure that you have other links within that post itself too, and especially in about the author section that will link further into, you know, the company website. But it's a best practice that I use, and I feel very comfortable with it.
Yeah, and I like the idea of 6 to 8 paragraphs. That feels like it's meaty enough, but it's not something that is so long that someone who's just sort of perusing through LinkedIn is going to be intimidated by, right? It feels like a good sign.
Exactly. Yeah, it works. It works very well.
Tell me how I see some posts that I've done there and some posts that my friends have done. How do they get picked up into the pulse area of LinkedIn? Is it random, or is LinkedIn looking for certain types of posts or amounts of traffic before they put something into that pulse area?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I think it's traffic, number one. It also can be the type of subject matters that they're looking for. So it depends on, you know, you don't have to be Richard Branson to get into Pulse, but you do have to have a fairly good audience and something of importance for whatever the topical area may be at the week or the month that they're looking at it. So, yes, they have a group of editors that actually work with that to develop Pulse, and Coco Sexton and a bunch are doing a great job in that regard. You know, but it sometimes can be random to a certain extent, but sometimes it really can be based on your blog traffic. A good example would be Jeff Hayden, who writes really, really well, and Joe Pelosi, who's the Content Marketing Institute founder, and he, I had him on my podcast the other day, and, you know, Joe was saying, yeah, you know, I get on to LinkedIn, and I publish a post, and it's fascinating. Within the first 3 to 4 days, I end up with 40,000 people, you know, liking my post. I'm like, okay, that's 25 of my posts to get that done. So there's traction there, there's no doubt. And, you know, they have their core group of influencers like the Richard Bransons, but they've expanded that universe out some more to add some other folks like Joe and Joe Pelosi and several others I would love to be the Pulse person at some point in time. And that's always a bucket list situation for me.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's get into some tips and best practices that you'd like to share, whether it's as part of the publishing posts or other areas, and maybe for someone like Deb who really wants to, you know, step on the gas with LinkedIn, what are some suggestions that you might start off with?
Yeah, when I work with my clients one-on-one, one of the first things we do, as I mentioned, is we'll start with the foundation of what LinkedIn's all about. LinkedIn is about your LinkedIn profile. Granted, if you have a company, there's going to be a company page as well as your involvement with groups. But your LinkedIn company profile really needs to reflect your professional brand. You know, and I can go through several different areas, but the two areas that I like to concentrate on when I work with my clients, I'll ask them to put together an SEO keyword list of search terms that they think their customers or potential customers are going to use to find them on LinkedIn. And LinkedIn actually has, separate from Google, their own algorithm that they use, and there's 4 areas within the LinkedIn profile that they pay attention for search and optimizing the search, and that's the headline, your professional experience, and your recommendations, and your endorsements. Those are the general areas that they're looking for. And then the other side of that is it's kind of a simple one, and a lot of people really don't think about it. But and that's the profile's photo. I mean, it's your profile picture. And my hard and fast rule on that is no wives, no kids, no dogs. I mean, it's the best way to describe it. And I've added since then. I've added selfies. You know, I truly do not want to work with somebody who believes that a professional photograph is something at arm's length. It really doesn't make it. The best way I can describe it for the clients that I work with is I mentioned that, you know what, your profile picture is analogous to you being seen as you walk in the door of a business meeting. How do you want to present yourself in that regard? And I know, Jack, I mean, you're the natty dresser that you've always been. I mean, a suit and tie, and that's what it looks like. That's great.
Yep.
You know, that's your personality, and that truly, honestly is. You know, you've got creative directors that, yes, they can, you know, have crazy tattoos and fair and whatever, but that's because they're a creative director. But don't get, you know, thinking that you can actually do that with a business profile. This is not Facebook or Twitter or Periscope. It really, honestly, is the LinkedIn is the business platform for social media.
Right. I guess, you know, maybe if my run for presidency doesn't go so well, maybe I'll get a new LinkedIn picture without the tie.
There you go. There you go. and you know, honestly, a side note on that, too, and I think I've got a rotation of three different LinkedIn profile pictures. And one of the things that I do work with my clients on is how do you get your profile noticed? One of the ways you do that is you make changes on a monthly basis or every six-week basis. You make some type of change on your LinkedIn profile because your network will see and be notified of those changes. So one of the things that I do is I rotate out my profile pictures. And you wouldn't believe it. I get 150 to 200 likes on the new, quote-unquote, new photo, which, you know, may have been up 6 months ago, but people just don't remember that. It adds to the way that people can see you.
That's great. And maybe
I like
the
that
same with the background picture as well, the cover photo.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah,
yeah, and side note on that too, there's an organization called Fiverr. If you guys aren't familiar with that, you know, for $5, I can get my profile background changed, and somebody can, you know, put basically a good photo together for me. So I use them on a regular basis for that.
And what's that organization called again?
It's called Fiverr. It's Fiverr.com. And
nice.
It's, you know, you can have a variety of things done digitally for $5. I mean, it's really good.
Wow. Excellent.
Yeah.
Good.
So, good stuff.
Give us some more tips. Keep them coming.
Okay. You know, the other part of that is you need to understand that LinkedIn, again, is a business platform, and the way you conduct business on LinkedIn shouldn't be any different than how you would conduct business in real life. There is a difference. If you were to take a look at my Facebook stream, and you're more than welcome to do, I'm Chuck Hester all over the web and all over social media, so there's no problem finding me. But if you look at my Facebook stream, you're going to see my latest obsession, which is minions and my cooking and all of the other stuff that I do. But I would never post a minion picture on LinkedIn. I mean, that's the bottom line on that, because I'm doing business. This is what it's all about. So it's very important to do that. And then the other thing is, and Jack, Deb, I'd love to hear back from you, you know, in a separate conversation, but everybody knows from seven touches, and that's basically that it takes seven times to connect with somebody and a potential customer before they actually buy. My assumption, and I cannot back this up with empirical evidence per se, is that because of social media and all the channels available, that's more like 17 touches now. So within LinkedIn, one of the things that I work with my clients is showing them how to cut those number of touches down or use certain things within LinkedIn to add to that. And one of the areas, and people sometimes look at me sideways on this one, is, you know, staying in touch with your connections. You can go to your contact section, and it will talk about three different things: a work anniversary, a new job, or a birthday. And it is so very simple, and to basically hit a button on LinkedIn and say, "Happy birthday, Jack," and it puts you back in front of a connection. And I use that as a sales tool on a daily basis where I go through my birthdays with my connections and, you know, I offer up 15 minutes free to ask any question you want on LinkedIn and happy birthday, here's your gift to do that. But I have gotten business as a result of those type of tactics. And it really is important to keep yourself in front of your connections by doing small things like wishing him happy birthday or, you know, congratulations on your work anniversary, whatever it may be, because it puts you back front of mind with connections that potentially could be business for you.
And also all of your other connections will see that you're making or you're congratulating a colleague or someone else
right.
on something too. They'll see that in their feed as well.
Yeah. You know, I'm slightly
excellent.
Obsessive with that. I do that on LinkedIn. I'm very obsessive on Facebook. I don't think there's a day I've missed that I've actually haven't wished my contacts on Facebook happy birthday. It's just one of those things. I mean, it makes you feel good as a person. I mean, it's really fun to have somebody say happy birthday to you. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't have 150 people wishing me happy birthday. And then on Facebook, that happens. I mean, it's kind of cool to see that.
Right. I love it on LinkedIn, too, because it's,
You
know, everybody does it on Facebook. You know, you see somebody and
right.
and they get, you know, tons of birthday wishes. But doing it on LinkedIn is a little bit unique. That's very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and as, you know, I always say that my phone blows up on my birthday, and I just like, oh, my God, you know, it's my birthday. My phone's going to blow up because I get all these, you know, wishes from Facebook and LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, how do you, you know, do you think – you should reply with the thank you? And it's like, oh, my God, I'd be hitting reply, thank you. Or what's the best practice for that when you're just bombarded with all the best wishes?
Yeah. I mean, well, again, that's a high-class problem, Deb, right? I mean, all these wonderful people are wishing you happy birthday. You know, honestly, you know, to be somewhat callous on that, it depends on you know, whether it's a close connection for you or a potential customer. Then, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to start. I've got a BC local here that I've been working with, and she wished me a happy birthday, and I said, thank you, Jan, I greatly appreciate that. And she said, what are you up to today? And what are you doing as far as now that you're back in Raleigh? It started a conversation where she had a portfolio company that needed marketing help. I mean, that's what it, you know, comes down to. So, you know, it sparks the conversation, and it's like a great way to continue the conversation. I have, and I don't think this is something published, but I don't think we talked about this, I have 15,000 direct connections on LinkedIn. And so for me to stay in touch with all of those folks on a regular basis is difficult. And, you know, I have friends of mine with similar levels who are actually saying, you know what, every week I'm going to contact 10 people that I haven't talked to in 6 months and use it that way. So, you know, it's a deliberate situation, but for me, I don't have a company website. Other than, you know, my landing page for my LinkedIn training, it is my LinkedIn portfolio and my profile. And so I want to make sure that folks are aware where they can find me.
And well, it's your CRM as well, right? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I think we're now in the space where people move from job to job and you're taking your contacts with you because you own them. The company does it. And that's so different than how things were even 5 years ago.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know, and you know, not to give away all of the wonderful secrets that I've got, but you know, a lot of people don't truly understand that if you have a LinkedIn connection, you can take notes on their profile, you can tag them, you can set it up in such a way that then you can come back and search for them. You know, if you do, hey, these are podcast guests as a tag, you can go back and look at all of the podcast guests that you've had. Where did you meet? What was last conversation? What did you talk about? If you integrate with your Gmail or Outlook, whatever it may be, then I can also, through my contacts, I can see all my Gmail messages directly on my LinkedIn platform as well.
Yeah, I love it. I'm looking at your page right now, and I'm looking at some notes that you and I had sent back and forth several months ago, all the way back to, check this out, Chuck, you and I connected on December 10th of 2008.
Wow, 7 years ago.
That's cool.
And it's all right here. I'll have to. I'm going to start tagging you and adding some notes right now, Chuck.
There you go. And honestly, you know, I would suggest the listeners to take a look at my published post. And one of my published posts is the 5 reasons I use LinkedIn every day. That was probably my most popular post. And one of them is that LinkedIn is my online, is my only CRM. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. And
wow.
Of that,
wow.
Well, I love, when I travel, one of the things I like to do is go into my LinkedIn, look at my contacts. I put in the location and say, okay, who's in that area that I might need to, you know, that I like to connect with that I don't normally talk to. And we received a Social Geek Radio guest from that. I mean, Shannon Wilburn was just between friends. I would send her a note and I said, I'm going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but I'm going to be at the airport. I have an hour and a half. You want to meet for coffee? Mm-hmm. And I had never met in person. And she said, sure. And it's like, there we are, Starbucks at Tulsa. And since then, we've been really built a strong, you know, virtual relationship that it's really cool. And that was because of LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really nice to be able to, and I tell people this on a regular basis, before your meeting, pull up their LinkedIn profile, take a look, get to know them a little better. You know, it cuts down on conversation, quite frankly. But at the same time, you've got a really good LinkedIn profile picture. I can walk in the door. If I've never met Deb, I could look at your photo, and then you walk in the door and say, oh, hey, Deb, there you are. As opposed to the awkward, you know, here's 6 people walking past you. Oh, are you Deb? No, you're not.
right.
You know,
right.
That goes through that. And Jack and I have history, and he knows, but I do the exact same thing. If I'm traveling, one of the first things I do, exactly what you do, is like, you know, I'm going to be in Oklahoma City, and, you know, in mid-August, and I'm going, okay, so who else in Oklahoma City do I know that I could potentially say, hey, you know what, I'm coming down, and if you guys want to get together for a drink or whatever, let's do that, because I'm going to be there. And I can't emphasize enough how important it is in this digital age to connect directly and get behind the eye. Get away from the computer itself, even to the point of just, hey, pick up the phone. I mean, that's what it really comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fantastic. This is Social Geek Radio, and tonight's topic is LinkedIn best practices with Chuck Hester. Chuck, just in the last few minutes that we have left here, tell us about any new projects or things you're working on. I know you've got some speaking engagements coming up too. Where can we find you in the near future?
Yeah, I'm actually traveling, like I said, to Oklahoma City to do a training session for a PR agency, their 12-person staff, on how to use LinkedIn for a variety of things for them, business development as well as media relations. I am going to be at Content Marketing World, and that's coming up in September. So take a look at that. I'll be moderating a full-day track at Content Marketing World on Thursday. But you know how we work, Jack. I'm a walk-the-hallways guy, so I'm going to be looking to find people that I haven't seen in a while and new people that I want to see. You know, I'm always available for consultation on the one-on-one training. It's 2 hours worth of training. You can find that information on my website or contact me directly on that. And I'm available for speeches in regards to how to use social media for branding and social media development in regards to business development and a wide variety of things. So keynotes, full-day workshops, seminars, that type of thing, I'm available.
Absolutely. And what's the website address again?
The website, well, go to my LinkedIn profile. It's probably easiest, but the website for my training is chuckhester.com/LinkedIn training. It's that simple. And that, like I said, it's not, I don't really have a full up website per se. You go to my profile, find out all the information you need. But if you're looking for training specifically one-on-one and it's 2 hours worth of training, you can find out more information there. If you want to do a full up workshop for your organization, sales, or whatever it may be, you know, contact me directly on that one.
All right, will do. Everybody,
all right, good.
Get Chuck on LinkedIn. One final question for you. You've got 15. How many thousands of connections did you say you have?
15,000.
Right. So, and I have mindset as a. I'm open to connecting with anybody. Anybody can reach out, connect, and I'll be glad to connect. And obviously, you do too. Do you recommend that for most of the executives that you're working with, or do you recommend being a little more cautious with invitations?
Yeah. Well, honestly, it depends on the business that you're in for the first part of that. But there's a guy named Chris Brogan that I think you know. Chris and I have known each other for a long time. His phrase, which I've stolen, is basically, I'm a promiscuous connector. And that means I'll pretty much connect with anyone as long as you're not going to spam me, cause me trouble, or I don't believe that you're really a person. Because I truly, honestly believe in any other part of that, which was in my book, is I believe in taking the meeting. So I may meet somebody, have no agenda whatsoever, and I want to connect with that person. Because as a pay-it-forward advocate that I am, I have 14,999 people that can help that one person who comes to me and says, I need help. It's always nice to be able to do that. So don't close yourself off. You know, sometimes, honestly, Deb, I caution females in regards to this and being mm-hmm. more careful in regards to connecting. I have 3 daughters and a wife, and it's just, you know, we're very careful in that regard. But in general, you know, take the connection. If the worst comes to worst, is that, you know, and I do this with my folks, you can unconnect with those people down the line if you have to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent.
Good tips.
Great advice. Thanks so much, Chuck Hester, for joining us. Everybody, connect with Chuck on LinkedIn. And we will see you next week on Social Geek Radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night.